20, turn your Bible there. We've been talking about a revelation of redemption, the voice of redemption. Now we're going to talk about the redeemed believer, the redeemed believer. This here is a series of teachings, and very, very soon, Brother Jason and I will be putting them together along with the bookstore people. They'll be getting it together. We're meeting with them and working on things. Amen. St. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. When you get to somebody, say, praise the Lord. And I forgot to pray. Stretch your hands toward me again. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you right now, in all humility, for wisdom and knowledge, understanding, Lord God. Increase in my life, Holy Spirit. Use every part of me, Holy Spirit, today. I thank you right now for the word of God having free course in this atmosphere. I thank you because of the blood. Not one demonic foe has a right in this place. We give Satan no geographical location right now. I decree and declare as the priest of this home that sickness and disease and poverty and lack, they have no right in this place. And not one member of this body right now. So I drive it out right now by faith in the name of Jesus. And I thank you right now, Lord Jesus, as the word comes forth, faith increases, Lord God, and your people go out and grab that which belongs to them in Jesus' name. And every person that agree by faith say, amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, get ready to catch what PC is saying. St. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, meaning twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, then came to Jesus. The doors being shut and stood in the midst, no, then Jesus came, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither your finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said unto them, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet they have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet they have believed. This is the thing that we're dealing with here concerning our ministry. And God has really put a burden on my heart to pray for fivefold ministry and for the entire body of Christ. After the death of one of the most profound men of God, no matter what happened, he still was a powerful general in the kingdom of God. And I thank God for some of the most profound words that Pastor Zachary Timms said. They helped fortify my faith. They helped me believe. They helped me see things more clearer. Amen. And what I want to do is just to really paint a picture to us about believing without seeing. And what's the evidence of believing when you don't see? Because everything in the kingdom of God is attained through faith. Faith is a matter of your heart, your human spirit. Believing is a matter of your mind. Come on, somebody say believing. It's a matter of my mind. And you guys heard me say this before, and I've done in-depth study on it. You know, we were taught that believing is a matter of the heart, but the word heart is a metonym that signifies or that is talking about your mind. Believing is done in the mind. This is why we can have all of those illicit thoughts and things going on in our mind or our heart. And what happens is that those things prolong or those things hinder the plan and the purpose of God for our life. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. But what we want to do is we want to fortify your mind with God's word to the point where what you see in his word becomes more valid than what you see out in the world. I'm going to say it again. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, get the L out of here. Now, I didn't say get the H-E-L-L. Amen. Turn up the hearing aid. This is what I said. I said get the L out of here. If you take the word world, take the L out, you have word. Come on, somebody give Jesus some praise. Here's what we want you to do. We want you to get the L out. Because in order for you to be an effective Christian or an effective believer, you have to get the world out of your thinking. You have to uproot it. The Bible says all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. Somebody say lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is all that is in the world. And what generally happens is that we as believers get born again and we don't understand kingdom principles, and we take an import from the world, principles of the world, into the kingdom of God. And then we start operating principles of the kingdom with mixture, and then we get mixed results. But God wants us to get some absolutes in the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody say amen. What I've discovered, and I have to use my own personal examples and my own personal experiences. What I have discovered just over the last month in believing God for this property, that when you begin to transcend and you begin to move and grow in the things of the kingdom, the enemy will come at you at all kind of ways. And he will bring everything that you never thought he would bring up. He will try to bring it to light and attack you with that. But you and I have to understand that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down of every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God's word is his knowledge. God's knowledge is his word. Anything that's in the world that does not line up with his word is illicit and it's illegal. And you and I, according to Ephesians chapter 1, we have the authority, which is exousia, and we have the power, which is kratos, to take everything that is not like the word and get it out the way. So that's why we have to teach people who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ, and what they're able to do in Christ. Because if you don't know your position in Christ, when the world starts speaking volumes, you won't fight back, because you'll think that that which is happening in the seen realm is God's will. Come on, somebody say amen. This is what usually happens. People will see opposition and they fight against it, and it seems like it won't move, and they'll say, must not be the Lord will. That's what that phrase right there is what the enemy has used to destroy the church for generations. That's why you and I got to fortify in our mind what we just read in Romans chapter 8. That if God, who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how much more will he not give us all things with him? This is the stuff we got to put inside of our human spirit, so that when we know that there's opposition coming against his word. See, listen, I'm just going to speak it prophetically. Can I do that? This battle ain't about me and you. It's about the validity of God's word. Because whatever God said, the Bible says, guess what? He's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should change his thinking. If he said it, he's going to bring it to pass. But just because God said it doesn't mean that it's going to come to pass. It takes a willing vessel that is able to absorb his word. Because God, when he wants to operate in planet Earth, he has to find a vessel of honor that is meet for the master's use, that is ready for the master's use, that is prepared for every good work. A person that knows who they are, know what they have, know what they're able to do in Christ, know their position in Christ, so that when opposition stands up and raises its face up against you, you stand against it by faith. The Bible says you and I got the kind of faith to overcome the world. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We got the kind of faith to overcome the world. The Bible said the kind of faith that brings the world to its knees. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. That means whatever is not like his word, we have the ability to bring it to its knees. Glory to God. Get a load of hand clap. I'm telling you. In order for us to operate like this and with this kind of anointing, we have to move past what we see. Here is the indication that you and I believe without seeing. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. We're going somewhere today. 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. Who's your neighbor? Say, neighbor, have you prayed for your pastor lately? Have you prayed for your first lady lately? Have you prayed for the ministerial staff here at Image of God lately? If you're a visitor, have you prayed for your pastor? This is important. Come on, somebody say amen. We got to quit operating by what we see. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Let's read it together. We having the same spirit of faith. Now stop right there. I'm teaching you something today. This is the spirit of faith. Tell your neighbor, I have faith. I have the spirit of faith. Now we're going to dissect it. We having the same spirit of faith, come on, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I. We also believe and therefore we. The spirit of faith believes and speaks what it believes. The spirit of faith believes and speaks what it believes. I'm going to say it again. The spirit of faith believes and speaks what it believes. The spirit of faith sees it here, believes it, and then says what it sees and believes. The spirit of faith. You cannot say that you have faith if you're saying what you see out there. The indication that you are a person of faith is that you're saying what you see and hear. Come on, somebody say amen. I tell you what, the Bible calls it the language of the cross. When you get born again, there is a whole nother language. Come on, somebody say amen. Because the world out there has a language. Well, I love them to death. I love them to death. When I hear people say that, I tell them, you love them to life. I love them to death. See, as the body of Christ, we got to move past saying what we see to saying what we see in God's word. See, we got to get to the place where men and women of God feel like that they, come on, somebody say amen, where they feel like that they can come and sit down and talk without being judged and being condemned. That ain't just for the pastors. That's for everybody else. That's for everybody. Because that depression drove that man to his early premature death, a general in the kingdom of God. That's why whenever you see me, no matter what you did or no matter what somebody said about you, guess what I'm going to say? I love you. Jesus love you. I don't care what everybody else saying about you. The law could be saying something about you. Your neighbors could be saying something about you. But you know what I'm going to say about you? I'm going to say what God says about you. I love you and Jesus love you, regardless of what you've done. Like I said, you may have done what they say you did, but you are not the person that they say that you are. See, my job is to tell you who you are in Christ. Because all it takes is for you to get to believe in who you are. And then you'll step out of who you aren't. Here we go. Here we go right here. Verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are, circle that word temporal. What does it mean? It means it's temporary. It means it's subject to change. Now, I want you to just think about three or four or five things right now that you're going through that seem like that they are eternal. Matter of fact, you might even need to write them down in the back of your Bible, whether it be poverty, sickness, disease, divorce. I don't care what it is, you know, strife, contention, whatever it is. Write that down, because you could take that scripture right there and put those things in the category of temporary. They are subject to change. Now, here's something that will not change: God's word. The thing that you're going through will never be balanced to what God's word is. Hear what I'm trying to say. That which you are going through does not have power over what God said about you. All you have to do is start seeing what God says about you. And that thing that has power over you will loose its chains. You're more than a conqueror. You're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. You're the lender and not the borrower. I know you've been borrowing. I borrow too. But guess what? We're the lender and not the borrower. Amen. We got to elevate our mind up. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we got to deal with the condition of the heart. Because I'm a direct reflection of how I think in my heart. So I got to deal with the condition of my heart. It ain't the condition of my environment, or what color my skin is, or what life I grew up in, or how bad my background is, or what drug I was addicted to, or what drug I was not addicted to, who I slept with, or who I did not sleep with. Come on, somebody say amen. It has everything to do about how I think. How I think. Because if I could change my thinking, I could change my environment. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. Words determine our believing, and our words are our ultimate weapon that we have. My God. God is good. Let's look at Abraham, and let's just validate that. Let's look at Abraham. Let's just validate. Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. When you get there, somebody say, praise God. It says, therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. Faith accesses the grace of God. Let me just give you a little footnote, a little side journey right there. The grace of God is the power of God. It's the anointing of God. It's the favor of God. Your faith in God's word accesses the power and the anointing and the favor. You catch that, right? To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believeth. Somebody say, he believeth. Even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, I want to stop right here for a minute. I'm not talking about your ability. I'm not talking about my ability. I'm not talking about Donald Trump's ability. I'm not talking about Bill Gates' ability. I'm not talking about Benny Hinn's ability. I'm talking about God's ability. God has the ability to call things that be not, give life to dead things. So that means when you get over into the realm of faith and you start accessing the grace, you operate in the God kind of class. You supersede what's going on over here in the natural realm. And you get over here where God is. God starts working with you. God starts working for you. Why? Because you start saying what God says. And guess what? That grace is access. The same Spirit of God that brought the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything into existence by the word of God is the same Spirit that lives on the inside of you and I. My God. Look at this right here. Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 20 to Amplify. It says, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith, and it depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. He gives life to dead and speaks of the non-existent things he has foretold and promised as if they already exist. Here's the thing that I want you to see right here. God speaks of things that don't exist as if they already exist. Now, what does that mean for you and I? That means that because we are dear children and we have the ability to imitate him, we can speak of things that don't exist as if they already exist. See, some people might have thought I was foolish when I was calling that building ours before it was ours. I was walking around on the inside of the building while we were showing people. You might not have heard me, but I was praying in the spirit saying, Father, you said, whithersoever the sole of my feet tread upon, that ground belongs to me. When I got one hand clap. When I got the negative report that somebody had overbidded us and that it was a chance that we were not going to get the building, I took Gerard over there and we walked around the ground. Whithersoever the sole of our feet shall tread upon, that ground belongs to us. I didn't even tell Gerard the full report of what I heard. See, you gotta catch what I'm saying, see? Because we believers, we also say what God say, no matter what it looks like. See, most people will give up in situations like that. We're trying to tell you the same grace, the same anointing that's upon this ministry is on your individual life. Because you and I collectively, we come together and we make up this corporate anointing. So the grace that got us that favor over there is the same grace that'll give it to you out here in any arena that you're in right now. But see, if you're not obtaining the promises of God, you can't blame anybody else. You have to look at the condition of your heart. You got to look at the condition of your heart. What are you believing and what are you speaking? Well, Pastor, I don't think it takes all that. Yes, it does take all that. I'm telling you what I taught you a few weeks ago, that everything that you and I see is held together. It consists by God's word. That means if I don't get up in the morning, I don't start saying what God say, things will start falling apart. Because I am the agent of change that God decides to use. You and I, we are the agents of change. Ephesians 1 said that the world is a slave to us, and we should not be slaves to the world. That means that we control what's going on. My God. Are you hearing what I'm saying right here? All we got to do is find God's promise and what he said and jump on his side and start saying what he said about that situation. My God, Jesus. I'm going to prove it to you. The Message Bible says, we call Abraham father, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've already read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many peoples. Watch this. Abraham was first named father and then became a father. I'm going to say it again. Abraham was first named father, then he became a father. See, my God, I got to tell you something. This is a story in the book of Genesis. A man by the name of Jacob. He came out of his mother's womb fighting for birthright between his brother Esau. Jacob grew up and became a slave to his uncle for 21 years, Laban, off of one female. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, he wanted that woman bad, I'm trying to tell you. 21 years he worked in slavery. Y'all women be doing it to us. I'm just letting y'all know right now. Amen. Brothers do some crazy things for some women's. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me just move right along because y'all know I'm telling the truth. Amen. But anyhow, he worked for 21 years in slavery for this woman, Rachel. Amen. But the father had already given him Leah. He come out of this slavery, and then guess what? Finally, Rachel is having a baby, and I'm passing by the story. And she's on her deathbed because this birth is causing her to die. And Rachel raises up, and she says, your name shall be called Ben-Oni. And then guess what? Jacob said, His name ain't going to be Ben-Oni. His name's going to be Benjamin. Now, why did he change his name? Why did he call something that was not as though it were? Because Jacob knew the power of names. Because Jacob had to wrestle with the Lord to change his identity. Because Jacob meant surplanter, trickster, and last. So his whole life, when they called his name Jacob, he was looking like, I'm the last. I'm the last. I'm a trickster. I'm a surplanter. Are you catching what I'm saying? But watch what happened here. So Jacob knew the power of calling things that be not as though it were. And his wife said his name gonna be Ben-Oni, which meant son of my sorrows. So his whole life, he'd have been called sorrowful. But Jacob stood up and said, not going to happen on my time. His name going to be Benjamin, which means son of my right hand, which means everything that I have, I'm giving it to you. Did you catch that right there? So guess what? If you got some Ben-Oni's happening in your life, you got to stand up and say, no, baby, it's not Ben-Oni. My life ain't sorrowful. You got to stand up and call things that be not as though it were. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm just going to say it. See, some people like sorrow. Misery, love, comfort. People, they don't even know how to identify themselves if they don't know how to sit down with somebody and talk about all their problems. Did you see what happened to me? Did you see how the president did this? And did you see how the Congress did this? And did you see, people just want to talk about negative, misery, love, comfort. But God ain't into hearing you talk about your problems. He's a solution-driven God, not a problem-driven God. Lord, have mercy. They stood outside the gates of the city, those leprous men, and they were sitting there, and he said, why sit we here lest we die? Let's get up and go in there. We're going to die either way it goes, so let's get up in there. And when they got up in there, they found out that that which was in there delivered them and all of Israel. See, God wants you to get up out of that misery. God wants you to get up out of that confessing that wrong stuff and saying all that wrong negative stuff about your life. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The question is, if you can believe. Romans 10:11 says, as the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame, or they shall not be ashamed. See, I dare you to believe God. I dare you to get inside that word and start fortifying your mind and getting in this. You got to get against the grain, flow against the current. God ain't going with the current. God ain't looking at the news and saying, oh, look at what's happening. No, he understands. Listen, this is why he approached people in the old covenant. He said, I am Almighty God. That means no matter what the current is saying, I override the current. See, once you get a revelation that he is Almighty God, guess what? That means that you can step into that Almighty God. See that you are in Christ, and you can say, okay, Daddy, what'd you say? Oh, I'm healed. I'm healed. What'd you say, Daddy? I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. What'd you say, Daddy? I'm gonna have a good, I got a good marriage. What'd you? But see, you gotta identify yourself. Like I said, some people, they love misery. You know I'm telling the truth. That you could track them a mile away. Here they come. You're like, oh, my God. You know I'm telling the truth. Here they come. You smiling, looking at them. Hey, listen, I'm just going to preach at the wall. If the brick hits you, don't get mad at me. And they come walking up. This happened to me. And that happened to me. And they did this to me. And she did this to me. And he did this to me. And I don't know what I'm going to do. See, they're talking like a powerless, non-anointed, as if to say the king of the universe don't live on the inside of you. I heard Donald Lawrence say this morning when I was in my worship time, there is a king in you. Baby, you better recognize that somebody bigger than you is on the inside of you. I'm talking about Jesus. Guess what? There's no weapon that has been formed against you that will prosper. Every word that has risen against you, guess what? You got the ability to stand up and condemn that thing. If God be for you, who can be against you? Who shall lay a charge to God's elect? I'm preaching it, Jason. They better catch what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you something here. This is how I live my life, because I got all kind of opposition coming against me. I don't got time to sit down in a little pool of pittiness. I ain't got no time for that. Why? Because guess what? I got to believe what I can't see so I can start saying what I can't see. You better catch what I'm saying so you can catch it and we can start believing together. Amen. Pretty soon they're going to think we all crazy. Can't you see all the glory? Can't you see all the thousands of people that's coming? That's what I'm trying to say. When did God ever come down to the level of our economy, or come down to the level of our doctor's notes, or come down to the level of what that car paid? When did God ever get on the level of what we see right here in the natural? Never, 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 never. He's Almighty God. Whew, my God. Let me give you one more scripture. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, get your heart right. Get your heart right. Believing is a matter of the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Look at yourself. Say, I am a direct reflection of my heart. The word think, it means to estimate. One translation, watch this. One translation means that the way you think can create boundaries and limitations. So hear what I'm saying. You are not bound because of the government. We are not bound because of the economy. We're bound because of our thinking. Glory to God. Amen. You know, I like shopping at garage sales and stuff. I just can I be real? Can I just talk to you? A lot of us in this church do, because I know, because my wife be there. She's like the Aziz queen. Her and Minister Stephanie and Bonnie, they all, you know what I mean? But you know what? When my wife and I, we go to Chicago, we like going to those flea markets and stuff. I like seeing different cultures and stuff that they have, you know? I like doing stuff like that. But there was a time in my life that I did it because I had to do it. Because that was my boundary. Now I do it because I want to do it. Not because I have to do it. And it doesn't matter to me what somebody think about me, because I'm only in there because I want to be there. Not because I have to be there. See, the problem is when you have to do it. And see, you got to override those boundaries. Look at it right here in Scripture. Look at this right here. Look at this right here. Matthew 12:33-37, it says, make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. The tree is known by its fruit. Generation of vipers, how can you be evil? Speak good things. Out of the abundance or the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means, say your neighbor, whatever is in my heart, my mouth is going to reveal it. Say it one more time. Whatever is in my heart, my mouth is going to reveal it. So can I just be real? If poverty is in your heart, your mouth going to reveal it. If sickness is in your heart, your mouth is going to reveal it. If judgment is in your heart, your mouth is going to reveal it. If adultery is in your heart, your mouth is going to reveal it. Whatever is in your heart, your mouth is going to speak. Come on, somebody say amen. A good man out of the good treasure. Somebody say treasure. That word treasure means deposit. See, I got two checking and savings accounts at TLC. I can't withdraw something that I have not deposited. See, Jesus is making it plain. Don't expect to withdraw something good if you haven't deposited nothing good. The kingdom of God is like a man who plants seed into the ground and he goes to sleep and he wakes up and he don't know how the thing spring up. It just springs up. The way you plant is by your mouth. The way you plant is what you meditate. So if you keep meditating on the wrong stuff and that gets into your heart, pretty soon trees start growing out, and out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. I'm going somewhere. 36, Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. The day of judgment is not when the Lord is coming back. The day of judgment is every time you go through a situation in your life, your words is going to determine whether you be freed, acquitted, declared righteous, or judged, or sentenced. Your words. He said, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be what? Condemned. The word heart is a metonym for the word mind. It means thoughts, reasonings, affections, understanding, and judgment. Now, turn to Romans 10 right quick, because we're going to move on, because I'm going to finish this up. Romans chapter 10. I'm trying to show you something. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, get your heart right. If you get your heart right, your mouth will be right. You get your heart right, your mouth will be right. Every limitation that you and I have is, every limitation is in our heart. Not your spirit, your mind. Now, let me tell you something. You want me to tell you what your limit is? I'm going to show you something. You know what your limit is? Your limit is God's word. God himself is your limit. There is no limit to the believer. Read Isaiah chapter 54. He said, enlarge the place of your habitation. Stretch forth your curtains. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. You shall break forth on the left hand and on the right side. See, God wants us to take the limits off. Where the limits at? The limits is in the mind. Get them off. Get them off. Tell him to say, get them off. Amen. Watch this. Romans 10. Look at verse 8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even where? And in thy what? That word heart there is the same word, cardia. That word heart literally means your reasoning, your thoughts, your affection, your understanding. It says that if the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess, somebody say confess. You know that word. It's the Greek word homologia, which means to say what God says. Tell your neighbor, say same a thing. Same a thing. If you say the same thing with your mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man, what? Believeth. And with the mouth, confession is made. This is a principle. With your heart, you believe. With your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I'm going to say it again. With your heart, you believe. Your heart is your mind. With your heart, you believe. With your mouth, confession is made. With your heart, you believe. With your mouth, confession is made. Your mouth is going to say whatever is in your heart. And whatever is in your heart, don't get it twisted. You believe it. That's why it's there. You planted it. Now, you and I, we are made up of our environment, our experiences, and the different things that we have been exposed to. All of us. Our environment, our experiences, and what we've been exposed to. So, guess what? We can't allow our environment, our experiences, and our exposures to grow up things in our heart that God never intended. At some point in our life, we got to stand up against what we experience. See, some of us experienced some bad stuff when we were kids. And you can't keep running around with that thing in your heart. Because if it's in your heart, you're going to always talk about it. See, that's amazing. That's why a lot of times marriages and stuff don't work. You know why? Not because, you know, the wife ain't beautiful. My wife is beautiful. Lord have mercy. She beautiful. She look good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And your wife is beautiful. And your husband is handsome. Amen. You know, hopefully, look. Amen. Praise the Lord. But let's just, Let's just move right along. But marriages don't work because, watch this right here, because somebody had a bad experience happen to them, or they was exposed to something that wasn't right when they were smaller or with a previous relationship, and they never forgave that person. They carried that seed with them. And guess what? Even though they went on the date and everything was fine, and even though they sat down and ate some filet mignon, and they, come on, even though they did that, you better catch what I'm saying, that thing was still sitting inside their heart. And all of a sudden they got married, and then they moved in together, and all of a sudden, pow, Jack in the Box come out. That thing didn't just happen. It was always there. They just never dealt with what's always there. I'm getting my words together. Amen. Are you catching what I'm saying here? See, we have to deal with our heart. See, it's an easy gospel to tell everybody, you know what, just come on in here with all your problems, and Jesus died on the cross for all your sins, and you're just a sinner saved by grace. And one day the Lord is going to come, and he's going to grab you on his wings of salvation, and you're going to fly. And when you get to heaven, everything going to be all right. Listen, if I'm messed up right here in Adrian, if I go to Detroit, I'm going to be messed up too. You better catch what I'm saying. See, people wonder why Jesus ain't came back yet. He coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. You ain't just going to be poof, puff the magic dragon. And all of a sudden, you just going to, you better catch what I'm saying. Your body going to change, but you going to deal with your mind right here. I'm going to say it again. Your body going to change, but you're going to deal. If you ugly in your heart right now and you go to Detroit, guess what? Eventually, they're going to see you ugly in Detroit. And guess what? You can pack up, rent a car, and go to Atlanta. And guess what? You get to Atlanta with a smile on your face, and time will show that you're ugly in Atlanta. I don't know where we get this old crappy old gospel from. See, it's his grace that is changing us right now. We got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Don't be having that thing in your mind that when I get to heaven, I'm going to be all right. No, you better get it together right here, right now. Glory to God. But the doctors say, I got a disease. I got a mental disease. I got something going on. Listen, forget that doctor. Mark 7 and 21. You ready? Turn there. I'm going to show it to you. Mark 7 and 21. Man, I'm done right now, y'all. I promise. Mark 7 and 21. I got too much to go. Too much to go. Can I give just two more scriptures? Can I do that? I should have just said 1 o'clock. You know, you can thank God for this church because I love teaching the word. I just want to get it out. What God give me, I just want to get it out. Amen. That's another bunny rabbit trail. We done isolated God. You know what I mean? Everybody's so busy for God now. Well, God understands I'm busy. I own a corporation and all that. Who cares about your corporation? Amen. I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get my scripture out. Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. You know, Peter and them, when the church was first conceived, you know what I mean? They get up, go to the hour of prayer. They had church all day long. 7 days a week, they went house to house breaking bread. You know what I mean? We in Pharaoh's system, amen? And we got to take that thing over. See, when you and I, when we done, when we, Gerard, when we own the businesses, y'all hear what I'm saying? When we own them, then we can tell everybody you're not working on Sunday. Amen. You're going to get off in time enough to go to church. But people think it's a good excuse. Well, I work. That's why I ain't in church. That's not a good excuse. Amen. That's not a good excuse. I used to work, too, in the secular world. And I told them people in that nursing home, you know, they don't never have a break. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I said, I'm not working on Sunday. Now, you can schedule me after church is over. But you can take all them people that's heathens over there, that's a smoking and a drinking and cussing and sleeping around with each other, husband, wife, make them work on Sunday. I'm going to church. And you got to have enough confidence in yourself. Listen, enough confidence in yourself that they say, well, you got to find, well, baby, bounce. I'm going to get me another job somewhere. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. That's how it should be going now. We got heathens running us, man. I'm tired of heathens running me. I'm supposed to love them, but ain't no heathens going to be running me no more. I had an encounter with a heathen a week ago, and he ain't going to ever run me again after that conversation. I'm telling you the truth. He'll never run me again. No disrespect to him, but he'll never do it again because guess what? The other side came out. And, amen. I ain't going to have no heathens running me. Well, that's not love. Yes, it is love. Jesus dealt with heathens the way, if you don't deal with a prostitute the way you're supposed to deal with a prostitute, she'll sleep with your husband. You don't deal with a thief the way that you're supposed to deal with a thief, they'll steal from your house. You got to deal with people, like Pastor Healy said, the way they deal with you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. My God. I'm going to go to my scripture. Mark chapter 7. I'm just trying to tell you, we got to get bold as the church, man. Come on. The Bible said the righteous are bold as a lion. Now, we got to get bold, man. We got to get bold. We got to move past all this old, you know, I got to honor him. He told me to work. No, you get in there and flip the hamburgers. I ain't flipping nothing for you on Sunday. I'm worshiping God. Come on, somebody say amen. Man, that's why God told Moses, go in and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh got him making straw, trying to find mud to make straw, you know, curse him. That's what he's doing right now to people. Got you out trying to find mud to make straw and make bricks and stuff like that. And you come back home all wore all out, got carpal tunnel in your hands and everything. And you come to church and you're praising God. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I magnify you. Lord, I glorify you. Oh, Pharaoh done wore you out. You know I'm telling the truth. Pharaoh done wore you out. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. How many people tired of Pharaoh? You should be, you tired of Pharaoh. Tell him what you think. The Bible said, let my people go. Let me go. I'm going to knock you upside your head. Let me go. I'm going to my scripture. Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. Amen. It says, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders. Where does all that stuff come from? It comes from the heart. Amen. How can you tell if it's in your heart? When you open up your mouth and you release it. That's why David said in Psalm 51, he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Look at this right here. Matthew 15, verses 11 through 20. You know the story. Jesus and his disciples, they sat down to eat. They didn't wash their hands. Y'all know it. And then all of a sudden, them religious folk jumped up and said, hey, how come your disciples don't follow the law and they don't wash their hands? And Jesus said, well, how come you defiling God's grace by operating out of tradition? You know, Jesus was bold. He was bold. He said, you tradition. See, people think Jesus just walked in love. No, man, he walked in love, but his love has some severity to it. Amen. Somebody say amen. Sometimes you just got to speak the truth and shame the devil. Amen. And then we get down there and Jesus began to teach him something. He said, look here. He said, listen, it's not what goes in the mouth. He said, what goes in the mouth, it gets down into the belly and it comes out as dung. That's what he said in the Bible. Don't get offended. He said, but what comes out of the mouth is what's already in the heart. He said, those are the things that defile a man. What comes out of the mouth. Are you catching what I'm saying here? Glory be to God. Satan even said, neighbor, we got to get the heart right. He said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Amen. Now, if you want to eat without washing your hands, that's cool with me. It don't. Psalm 119, last scripture. Psalm 119. Turn there. Psalm 119. This is revelation. We all said this scripture before, but I'm going to give it to you revelation now. Tell your neighbor, say, out of the abundance of the what? The mouth speaks, right? Psalm 119, verses 9 through 13. This ain't a tough message, is it? It's good, ain't it? Look at this right here. Now I'm going to help you. Have you ever prayed and you said, God, I just want to change? Lord, please help me. I want to change. I want to be a better man. Raise your hand if you ever did that. I want to be a better woman. I want to get these things out of my heart. I'm going to help you right now. Psalm 119, verses 9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man or a young woman be cleansed or cleanse their way? He's going to tell you. It's a question there. Then he answers it. By taking heed thereunto according to thy what? Watch this. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment or thy word. Watch this, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, watch this. Going down to verse 13. With my have I declared all thy judgments of thy. Now, notice that he said, I hid my word, hid your word in my heart, so that I don't sin against you. He said, I hid my word, your word in my heart, so that I don't sin against you. What is he talking about? When I hide his word in my heart, the words that come out of my mouth is his word. But if I don't put his word in my heart, I'm going to sin. You got to hear what I'm saying. Sin is not the act. The act is a product of what you said. I'm trying to help you here. Isaiah, go there. I didn't fib, y'all. I just kind of like stressed the truth just a little bit. One more scripture. Isaiah. You saw this last week, but I want to just point it out to you again. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, with twain or two. He covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and his house was filled with smoke. Then said I, now in all of that glory, then said I, woe is me, I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Watch this, six. Then flew. Now, when I read this the first time, it's almost as if he was over here and he was making his confession, and his angel jumped up and just shot over to him. Watch this. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he took from the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. He touched my lips, and it dealt with my iniquity. He touched my lips, and it dealt with my sin. I hid your word in my heart, so that I won't sin against you. Did you just catch what I said? See, everything in our life is a product of our heart. As a man thinketh. That's why, listen, you know, RJ read something to me today. That's why none of us can blame no one else. We can't do that anymore. Because I am where I am because of how I think and what I say. Come on, somebody say amen to this. You can stand to your feet. I'm done. I know I held you over. I'm done. I'm trying to help you out here. Can I just keep it real? I told you, we going to the days where, you know, I saw President Obama yesterday talking on, I think it was C-SPAN or whatever it was, and then I saw another Republican candidate talking, and they were back and forth talking against, you know, I didn't hear the president talk against him, but I heard him talk against the president. You know, and I thought to myself, I said, you know what, you can't get nothing good out of always saying something bad. Hear what I'm saying? Now, me personally, I'm not going to tell you if I'm Republican or Democratic or independent or whatever. You know what I mean? I just chose not to vote for the president. I chose not to. Now, it wasn't a black thing. Wasn't a white thing. You understand what I'm saying? I want to live by the word. And I don't want my decision to influence you. But now that he's the president, I got an obligation by God to pray for him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm telling you the same thing. In your marriage, concerning your money, concerning your family, concerning your church, concerning your pastor, your first lady, concerning the staff, concerning your job, concerning your boss, concerning your mother, your father, don't speak the wrong stuff. Say what God says about them. Come on, somebody say amen. Say what God says about them. Amen? That's important. That's important. You know what I mean? Because if you keep talking negative, your outcome is going to be negative. If you keep talking down on yourself, your outcome is going to be down on yourself. I'm telling you right now to ignore what it is that you're going through. By the Spirit of God, whatever it is you're going through, you don't have enough money, guess what? If we start talking about how much people don't have enough money, everybody in this room can have a story. Amen. Everybody can. So it doesn't matter that you're not where I am or I'm not where you are. Amen. You know what I discovered? Preachers that got millions got the same problems I got, but on a different scale. That's what the Bible tells us in Luke, to be faithful in that which is small. Whatever we do when we have the small, we'll do the same thing when we become rulers over much. Amen. So I just want you to just stand to your feet. Every person here, stand to your feet.